Good evening. Good to see each one of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Would you please stand with me? Let's turn to page 331 together. Page 331, we'll sing the first, third, and last verse. He brought me out. Page 331. Sing it out on that first verse.
My heart was distressed, 'neath Jehovah's red frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Verse number 3.
He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Amen. Great start tonight.
That's a blessing. Sure glad we serve a God that can pull us out of that miry clay. Amen.
I'm sure thankful for that. Well, glad you're here tonight and our oasis in the desert. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Clark if you would open us in prayer tonight, brother. And why don't you be seated tonight? Man, I expected a lot of people to come in tonight smiling and excited because it was like 60-something degrees today, amen? And I don't know about you, but that gives a fellow from Florida hope, right? And but sure glad to be here tonight. Did just want to mention a few things. Of course, announcements-wise, sure thankful for the month of March that we had. Man, the youth rally, still rejoicing in that, just a blessing, and having about 300 people packed in here like sardines, and what a great night in the Lord. Amen. So thankful for the great weekend we had. Of course, tonight, our regular services. And then this coming Sunday, don't forget about in the after the Sunday evening service, we are having a linger longer. And I'm sure that we'll be able to gather together over in the gym and set up some tables like that and enjoy some time of fellowship. And so looking forward to that. And then, of course, Saturday, April the 1st, we get into the month of April. And so Saturday, April the 1st is our church-wide outreach, and that's at 10:30 in the morning. I realize it's April Fool's Day, but the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. And we need to take the gospel out to our city. And so looking forward to that. And then if you have teens in the teen class, April the 2nd, which is on a Sunday, there is a teen activity, so make sure that you are aware of that. And then also, Faith Baptist Church family, did want to remind you that Tuesday night, April the 4th, that week of Easter, we'll be gathering together here at church at 7 o'clock to observe the Lord's Supper. That is Tuesday night, April the 4th. It is an off night because this is for church family only. So if you are a member of Faith Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to be here for that. Wednesday night, we'll be having our normal services, April the 5th. And so again, be here for that. And then, of course, if you have kids in Faith Baptist School, April the 5th through the 7th starts the Easter break. And so then they'll be going back to school Monday, April the 10th. Sunday, April the 9th is Easter Sunday. And so for our service, our Sunday morning service, the choir will be doing an Easter cantata. And so looking forward to celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Amen. We don't serve a dead God. Amen. And so that's a real blessing there. And then, of course, April the 12th through the 16th is the next big event, if you will, that we are planning for and praying for. And that is our annual missions conference. Going to be hosting Pastor Scott Nail and his wife, Dina. And he will be preaching Wednesday through Friday. And then, of course, that's 7 o'clock each night. And then Saturday will be a men's prayer breakfast. And that will be at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Golden Corral on Black Bob Road. And then there's also a ladies' tea here at the church. And that will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. And so, ladies, there's a sign-up sheet out there for that. And so because they're going to be having the food catered in and things like that. So they need to know how much is coming. And I believe it's $10 per lady, I think, to go to that. And men, we don't have a sign-up sheet. Men, just show up. Amen. And to the men's prayer breakfast. And if you want to know how much that is, call Golden Corral and they'll tell you. Amen. Just make sure that you get your money's worth. Amen. And looking forward to that. But looking forward to hosting the Dice family going to England. And then also the Del Hotel family going to plant a church in Santa Barbara, California. The guy's already planted a church in Illinois. And now he's got a heart for California. And praise God. Amen. And so excited to have that family here with us. And they'll be here with us just for a couple of days. But the Dice family will be here with us for the whole time. But looking forward to a great week in the Lord and excited about what God's going to do in our faith promise. Did also want to mention this. We still have the basket in the outer foyer out there. If you'd like to be a blessing to our missionaries while they're here and buy them some gift cards to things like a coffee shop or something like that and just be a blessing to them. April the 21st and 22nd is the ladies' retreat at Riverside Baptist Church in St. Joseph, Missouri, for those ladies that signed up for that. And then, of course, at the end of the month of April, April the 27th, is our school graduation and awards banquet. And then April the 28th, our school celebrated 50 years this year. Amen. And so there's a 50th anniversary alumni banquet on that Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And that, too, will be over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. And then lastly is April the 29th, which is on a Saturday, is a beginners and primary Sunday school class activity. And so as far as I know, that's still going to take place. And so those are the things coming up in the month of April. Very busy month, but a blessing, amen, and to be a part of these things. And so certainly be much in prayer for them. All right, if you got your prayer list out tonight, let's go ahead and go through that. Excuse me, and we will take any prayer requests. We will also take any praises and anyone that we can take off of our prayer list. Please let me know that, because if you'll notice, it is filled up with people and different things going on. I did want to just mention some highlights, and if you would, pray for Miss Carolyn Moore. We've been praying for her. She has a bile duct blockage. They tried to take care of that at Olathe Medical, and they were not able to. And so they have turned that over to KU Medical, and so that's supposed to happen this Friday morning. At 6 a.m., I believe, is when they're going to be doing that. So as far as I know, that's still on. And so if you would pray for that procedure. And then also continue to pray for the sickness that's kind of been going through our church. I think a lot of our families have been getting past it. And some are kind of, you know, here and there. I know it's been at our house a little bit. I know if you would pray specifically for Brother Gene and Miss Ginger Sexton, I know that they would appreciate that. And then if you'll notice on the second column with the health issues, at the very bottom there, there's a lot of ministry people on there. And so I just wanted to mention these tonight. Brother Dave Hardy, that was just actually here I think back in December, and just a real blessing, and actually had him scheduled to be with us this coming year again, and ended up having a heart attack while he was in Arizona. Did get word back today that he is doing good. They found the blockage. They got a stent in, and so they're kind of watching him. But it looks like he's going to make a full recovery and be back at it. Brother Don Rice, I know that he's very special to the Griffin family back there with their son, Aaron. And I know many of our people know Brother Rice from camp and things like that. If you've ever been to the Church Planters Conference, you know that it always starts out with 50 from Fritch. And that's Brother Don Rice. And but anyways, he is not doing good. He has liver failure. They've called the family in. And so if you would pray for him and certainly his family, and sure thankful for faithful men of God. Amen. And then also Miss Sandy Davison, that's Brother Sam Davison's wife, has a hip replacement surgery. I talked to him last week. It was scheduled for last week and then it was moved to this week. But as far as I know, I haven't heard any updates on that as to whether or not she had that. And then also our missionary, Miss Jenny Carpenter, is going to be traveling. She has a cyst on her ear that she has to get looked at. And so there's an appointment set for March the 28th. And so, in fact, she's going to be traveling this next week and flying back to the States. If you would pray for her. I did feel like as pastor, we ought to help her out with that. So I asked Brother Dawson if we could send her $300 to that. I don't think there'd be a problem. We need to vote on that. But just to help her with traveling and things like that. And then I also asked if we would pray. Also wanted to ask if we could add on there Brother Carl Boonstra. And Brother Boonstra is 98, I think, years old, and just a blessing. He preached the first missions conference that I organized here at Faith Baptist Church. I had Brother Richard King with Alzheimer's that's on our prayer list. Now I had him scheduled, and Brother King got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so I went in there in my office and cried like a baby because Brother Richard King is very special to me. And then just prayed, and the Lord said, call Brother Carl Boonstra. And so I had Brother Boonstra. So I remember that Sunday night we had in the service Brother Boonstra, Brother E.J. Watson, Brother Howard Quinlan, and Brother Bill Brewer all in the service that night. And I still got that picture, and that's a blessing to me. They had me stand up there with those guys, and I was like, this is holy ground, man. I don't need to be up here. Amen. And but pray for Brother Boonstra. He's got a lot of pain. And they did some tests. They still haven't found out what's going on, but it's not looking very good. And so if you would pray for him. One of the ones we can take off is a friend of the Griffins, Brother Swearinger. And he's a missionary. Is that correct? And so he's doing very, very good. And so we can take Brother Don Swearinger off. And so that's a blessing. Anybody have a prayer request or an update or anything tonight? Brother Parker? Is that K and I? Okay. Okay, so let's pray for that and the masses that they found. Let's just pray that, you know, it's not cancerous. And so, sure be praying for that. Okay, Ms. Sue? Uh-huh. My goodness. Yes, I saw that today, yeah. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. All right, that's a blessing. So we can take Jerry Bernard off. He's doing better. So thankful for that. That's the second column, third one there from the top. And then pray for little KJ Cooper. Pray for him and also his mom, Teresa. I know that's on my prayer list. And so pray for that situation. And also Brother Randall, just very special to this church and especially to the school. And so pray for Brother David Randall. I know he'd appreciate that. All right, Ms. Lynn Wills, yes. Okay. 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 All right. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing there. So pray. Continue to pray for him and for Sean Welch and all those guys. All right? Yes, ma'am. Miss Georgie. Good. And that's Miss Laura Stanfield, right? What a blessing. So let's continue to pray for her. That's a blessing there. So that's at the first column next to the last there. And so pray for her and her brother as well. That's a blessing. So. Brother Jeff? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 So that's a blessing. So some may not know, but Brother Jeff has prostate cancer, and so I'll just pray for, continue to pray for him, and let's add that on our prayer list too. That's a real blessing, though, and an answer to prayer. God's faithful, I'm telling you. We just need to pray. All right, Miss Angel? Okay. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. All right. So we can take Miss Paige Waters off. Been praying for her for quite some time. So that's an answer to prayer there. All right. Miss Sherry? Yes. All right. So let's continue to pray for her in just a real difficult situation and a faithful mom. And so continue to pray for Miss Carrie Sheely. And that's pretty good news, I guess we could say. So let's continue to pray for that. All right. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Brother Carr. That's a blessing. So she's out of the hospital. All right. Praise the Lord. So we can just continue to pray for her, though, with cancer. And oh, they did. Oh, wow. So you want to take her off or you want to leave her on? Glory, hallelujah, brother. Well, amen. Man, that's awesome. That's a blessing. Anybody else tonight? Okay, Miss Sue. Okay. 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 What's her last name, Dina?
Henderson.
Henderson. Okay. Okay, so Tracy Henderson. All right. Y'all are getting complicated on me now. Tressy. I like that. Broken arm and she's got to have surgery. Okay. So let's pray for her. All right. Let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And it's what I would say is a prayer list of blessings and burdens tonight. Amen. And so let's pray. For these things. Brother Don Katanik, would you pray for us tonight, the service, the prayer requests as they were mentioned, as the Lord brings them to mind, and then certainly the offering tonight. Amen.
Stand with me one last time tonight. Let's turn to page 424. Page 424, have faith in God. Amen. Page 424, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 together tonight. Sing it out on that first. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God, He'll answer yes. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Though all else fail about you, have faith in God. He provides for His own. He cannot fail. Though all kingdoms shall perish, He rules, He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Amen. Great singing. Please remain standing. Go ahead and get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
Amen. I believe that was an appropriate song. Amen. Right after our prayer list. And just trust the Lord. Amen. And He is faithful. And He knows what's going on. Amen. So Ephesians in chapter number 6 tonight. The book of Ephesians. And chapter number 6 tonight. And maybe one of these days, when I'm preaching through this, I'll actually go and, you know, buy some Roman armor and have it set up. Amen. That would be a pretty cool illustration there, and maybe some, you know, some knight's armor. I don't know, whatever. And so, or we could just get some soldier equipment. That'd be all right. That'd probably fare better. Amen. We'd know what we're talking about then. Amen. Ephesians in chapter number 6. And well, if you haven't figured it out, we've been preaching through the book of Ephesians, and we've come now to this armor of God. And so again, the idea here is that we could just kind of brush through this and touch the surface very quickly and move on. But we just felt, I felt it would be necessary for us to spend some time here and dive into each piece, what it means, what it represents, of course, and then how to have it on and active in our life. Because we are seeing a tremendous amount of casualties today. Amen. And so that's the idea here. So let's look at verse number 10 here. It's where we pick up. It kind of announces the armor here. He says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So here's the announcement here to have this armor on, but then we begin to see why. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we do have an enemy. He uses wiles, which is deception here. Notice in verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then in verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And so you'd say, well, when's the evil day? Now is the evil day. So look at verse number 14. So here's where we begin to see the pieces here, and we've already looked at these. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And so this is the belt of truth. And then it goes on to say this, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this is the piece that covers the chest. And we also understood this. Those two pieces go together. Because righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness is doing right. Well, here's the thing. You don't know what's right if you don't have truth. All right? And here's truth right here. Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is true. All right? But notice the next thing here. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. Look at verse verse number 15. He says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so now we've got the belt of truth, we got the breastplate of righteousness, so now we have the boots of the gospel. Amen. Oh, I don't want to pull something. Amen. Got your boots on. All right, so that's what we're going to look at tonight. But I'm telling you, it's an important piece of the armor, and we're going to see that tonight. Father, would you bless the preaching now, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. You know, when you look at stuff like this, you kind of look at it in light of today, and when I begin to think about this, I begin to think about things like we don't really think about what we wear on our feet as being important in its functionality. Typically speaking, and I realize, you know, there are guys that work and people that are on their feet all day, but most of the time, we are concerned about, you know, things like style, like what color it is, does it, you know, what brand is it, does it go with my outfit, and things like that. And if you're a guy, you know, this is what I'm thinking when I get dressed for church on Wednesday night or on Sunday or whatever, does my belt match my shoes? Because, I mean, if you got to at least get that right if you don't get anything else right, all right? Just at least, because then, you know, the rest of it may not match, but you could probably get by with it, all right? If your belt matches your, all right, anyways. So, when it comes to things like my dress shoes, I'm a Johnston and Murphy guy. I do shine my shoes. In fact, I shined them tonight before I came because I knew I'd be preaching on this. And as soon as I walked out of the pulpit, everybody's going to be looking at my shoes, you know, and stuff like that. But when I got these things, I wasn't thinking about functionality. I wasn't thinking about comfort. I was thinking about, you know, what do they look like, and are they going to go with my suits and things. Well, here's why I was thinking that, because I'm not planning on running a marathon in them. Now, I might hop a pew or two if I get wound up. All right, but I'm not running a marathon. I'm not going to be doing P90X and plyometrics and jump training and stuff like that. Now, here's the thing. But when you do something like a marathon, or you do something like working out, or you're on your feet all day at work, or whatever the case may be, well, then you are concerned about functionality. All right. In fact, this becomes far more important than style, unless you're my wife. All right, so you understand. Well, I remember both of our daughters, when they graduated high school, they wanted, we tell our kids, we'll take you somewhere for your senior trip. And so both of our oldest daughters, they, when they graduated high school, they wanted to go to Disney World. And so, You know, and what we found out was that Disney World actually gets cheaper the longer you stay. So we were like, well, if we're going, we're going. And so we did 6 days, 6 straight days at the parks. And now listen, I'm the type of guy that whenever I see how much a ticket costs, we're staying, we're going to get there when the gates open and we're staying till they close. All right, because we're getting our money's worth out of this thing. And so we did, man. We went and we went wide open from daylight till dark. Until we were some of the first group in, and we were some of the last group heading out every night. I can remember looking at my Apple Watch every day after we got done, and we walked over 10 miles every day. I'm telling you, that doesn't count. That doesn't count all the standing in line that we did. I wish I should have walked in place. I could have probably got about 40 miles out of that. Yeah, and I'm telling you, and I swear to this day, I would have lost weight on that trip had it not been they had the Mickey Mouse bars, the Mickey Mouse ice cream bars about every 50 yards. And you were like, by the time you got through eating one, there was another stand, and you're like, you want a Mickey Mouse ice cream? Mickey Mouse? All right, let's get one. Anyway, but here's what I did. Knowing that this was going to be the trip, knowing that we were going to be on our feet that much. I didn't care about style. I didn't care if my shoes matched my belt or my shirt or whatever. What I cared about was comfort. I cared about functionality. So I had 2 different pairs of running shoes, and I took them with me, and I rotated those babies out every day so that my feet wouldn't hurt so bad. And in the end, I'm glad I did, because it didn't matter what you had on your feet after a long day of Disney, they're still going to hurt. Amen. What I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this. We may not think about the substance of a shoe being that important. However, it does become incredibly important when there is much activity. All right? And I'm not signing up to go to Disney World, you know, in 12 hours at Disney World and do it barefooted. I'm not going to do P90X or run a marathon in flip-flops. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going anywhere with flip-flops on, but what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Nor do I want to engage in spiritual warfare or try soldiering in real life, in physical warfare, in a pair of tennis shoes. And this is the idea behind our text tonight in the boots of the gospel. See, listen, if we're going to be faithful long-term, then we've got to learn to have these boots on in spiritual warfare. The boots of the gospel. The Christian life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. Meaning this, that we are supposed to be on our feet for a long time, whether it be doing the work or fighting the battle. So therefore, if we are going to stand and if we are going to move forward with the gospel, then we've got to be shod with the gospel of peace. And that's the idea of the boots in our text tonight. All right? So as you and I get started, there's a couple of things we've got to explain here. All right? And certainly is the word that I just mentioned, and it's right there. It says this, in your feet. Notice this word here, shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word shod there, that is not, if I could say it like this, that's probably not a term that we use in our everyday vernacular. And it literally means this. And it is an interesting word, especially when it comes to the armor, because it literally means this. It means to bind under one's feet, as in shoes or sandals. And you and I would understand that in the Roman Empire days, the soldiers' boots, they were not a pair of Under Armour steel-toed boots. All right? They were. It was the idea of sandals. They were solid bottom. It was a solid bottom sole, and then it had straps around it, and typically they would go over the foot and around the ankle and even up the shin in many cases to help bind the sole to the foot of the soldier. And when you and I hear the word shod, probably some of us think like this, oh, that's what they do to horseshoes. You know, and they nail the horseshoes to the bottom of horse hooves. But listen, the principle is still the same. Just as horseshoes protect a horse's hooves so that it can run long distances, all right? Sandals protected the bottoms of the Roman soldier's feet so that he could war to the best of his ability. You understand what I'm saying? I realize feet can get tough and calloused and things like that, but it doesn't matter who you are. It's still a blessing when you've got a good pair of shoes on and things like that to protect your feet from stones and rocks and briars and all kinds of other things like that. So that's the idea there. Now, something else to notice. Look at verse number 15 again. Let's kind of dive in here. He says this, "And your feet shod," and this is interesting, "with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Did you ever notice that? You notice the word preparation? And it is, it's unique. So it's not just the idea. Now watch this. It's not just the idea of having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, but rather with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see that? And it's what makes this unique right here is that this is the only time this Greek word is used in the New Testament. And it literally means preparation. But also, I think about this, its usage and its grammar is unique here, because we would begin to think of a verb format or something like that as in to prepare, but this is a noun here, the preparation of the gospel to preach. And so it's very interesting. And we're going to come back to this here in just a little bit. But here's the idea, all right? All of this adds up to a command that is similarly given to our soldiers today before they head into battle. And here's what it is. Strap your boots on. Put your boots on and make sure they're tied tight. But you and I got to understand this. We're not in a physical warfare, and this is not an ordinary boot. We're in a spiritual warfare, and this is the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace that we need to have strapped on if we're going to war a good warfare as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So let me give you a couple of things tonight. Let's get into this. Number one, I want you to notice the order of the boots and the armor. Go back to verse number 14 and let's read down here again and just remind ourselves of this. He says, "Stand therefore." It's pretty interesting to note right here, especially as we're getting into verse number 15 now. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So there's an order here. And this was something that we looked at with the belt of truth. And if you'll notice, and let me just point out something for you to think about. If you notice the Apostle Paul, and I mentioned a minute ago, maybe one day I'd get a set of armor and have it set up here for when we go through this little passage of Scriptures. But if you'll notice, if you and I were just looking at armor, we would start and we would, if it was me anyways, I would be like, all right, you got the helmet and the breastplate and the girdle there, the belt, and then you got, the boots on down here. He's holding a spear, a sword, and a shield in the other hand. You would start at the top and go to the bottom, or probably the bottom or the top to the top, one way or the other. But the Apostle Paul doesn't do that here. All right? So you understand, and here's the thing. At the same time, you got to think about this. I don't think they are randomly listed either. Because you and I understand that ultimately it's not Paul that's the author of this passage. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And here's something else to think about. Now catch this. Please catch this. Here's something else to think about. I don't believe that the spiritual things are randomly placed together with the physical pieces of armor. Do you ever think about that? You know, it's not the breastplate of truth and the belt of righteousness or the feet shod with truth. Think about that. So you understand, and here's, listen, I'm just saying, we have the belt of the truth, not the belt of the gospel, and here's the reason, I believe it's that the Spirit of God, now watch this, the Spirit of God gave this list of spiritual armor very specifically with each piece, and in a specific order, they are listed for a reason. And I believe this, certainly we can see this as we begin to look at this boots of the gospel that we come across here in verse number 15. And it really makes sense when you consider two things. So we've already seen, now watch this, we've seen the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And now we're at the boots of the gospel. Now watch this. The first thing that I thought about was this. The gospel of peace, it is a portion of the truth. All right. Y'all been outside today and enjoying yourselves. You came in here tonight and you're all like ready for a nap. Let me say that again. The gospel of peace is a portion of truth. In fact, it is the centerpiece of the Word of God. I said it's the centerpiece of the Word of God. The gospel. In the entirety of the Bible. Come on, it's the central thing. You cannot, and here's the thing. You cannot have your feet shod properly without first truly having the belt of truth on. I want you to think about it. In fact, watch this. Think about this with me, all right? Just put on your brain here for a minute and chew on this. Lost man will not understand his need for the gospel until he comes to the conclusion that the Bible is the truth. Why do you think the devil fights so hard in our day and time to obscure the truth, specifically attacking the Word of God? It's so that he can keep men blind from their need of the gospel, because they're never going to receive the gospel until they begin to understand that the Word of God is truth. But we listen, so here's the thing. That's why we must take the time to prove and show that the Bible is right and the Bible is true. Do you know that? I mean, you can do this with things like archaeological evidence. Did you know this? That there were people that read through like all the cities and kingdoms and things that were listed in Genesis and said, oh, those places never existed. But then people would go over into the Middle East and start digging around, archaeologists, and they'll find those cities and they'll find those civilizations and come to find out the Bible is right. Do you know this? The Bible is a miraculous book with no errors. Its construction alone speaks to it being divine and God putting it all together. 66 books written by over 40 human authors over a period of 1,500 years. Man cannot do that. All of that, yet it has no errors, no contradictions. And its central theme is Jesus Christ. Only God could put something together like that. But here's a little something else to chew on. It's also two-thirds prophetic in nature. It's two-thirds prophecy. And much of that prophecy has already been fulfilled. You think about some of the kingdoms of earlier civilizations like Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. But listen, those places were all discussed before they ever came about. We're doing a men's Bible study through Isaiah. Isaiah was talking about Babylon before Babylon ever became the Babylon that we know of. And then Daniel saw Persia and Greece and Rome. And folks, what I'm saying to you is this. They were on that side of history. We're now on the other side of that. And I'm just saying to you, we can look back and go, the Bible is true. It is true. And not to mention Jesus Christ and the prophecy. Do you understand the prophecies around the first coming of Jesus Christ, the multitude of them, and that He fulfilled them to the very jot and tittle? And all of the things that it said, being born in Bethlehem, being born of a virgin of the tribe of Judah. Listen, the list goes on and on. And His life and His death and everything, He fulfilled everything down to the letter. And please catch this, there's far more prophecy about His second coming. And do you understand? If the first coming was fulfilled to the letter, you mark it down, the second coming is going to be fulfilled to the letter. But what I'm saying to you, friend, is this, is that the belt of truth is representative of the Word of God, which is where truth has its foundation. But you understand, someone cannot, I'm just telling you, they're not going to realize their need to be saved until they come to the truth that the Bible is the truth. And the gospel has it, is a portion of that truth, the central theme of it all. The Bible is the truth. It's God's truth and where we find what is required of man in order to be saved and have a relationship with God. And here's what's required. He must receive this gospel of peace by faith. That's why it says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of peace, isn't it? It gives us peace with God and its source is in truth. And man must grab a hold of this before he can ever put, before he's ever willing to put these boots on. But here's the other thing. The gospel of peace is also related to the breastplate of righteousness. I mentioned this a moment ago, but if you remember from last week's message, righteousness is doing right. In other words, it implies action. Doing right. You understand? It's not enough to know what's right. You got to do what's right. All right? Well, so too do boots. I don't put my work boots on to go sit on the couch. These are not boots to loaf in. These are boots to work in. You know I like cooling my boots up, preacher. Well, they're not for that. But you do look cool. No, they're so that we can have them shod on and then we can take this gospel of peace to those around us. And isn't that doing right? Isn't that what Jesus said to do? Go ye therefore, teach all nations. The boots of the gospel, again, are not a work boot, not a boot, or excuse me, they're a work boot. They're not a boot to loaf around in. They're not meant for looks so that we can puff ourselves up and how great we are. Because the truth is, we're not any greater than anybody out there. We're sinners just like they're sinners. The only difference between us and them is that we got the gospel and they need it. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel implies this, that we're to live out our faith in Christ daily. Whether at home or the workplace or wherever, we are to put our physical shoes on. And we should also have our spiritual boots on. We ought to do things at work like pray over our lunch. We ought to witness to our co-workers and invite them to church. Take tracts with us. We ought to carry ourselves in godliness. We ought to have spiritual conversations, not a filthy mouth. We ought to have a servant's heart, not a rebellious attitude. Just small things like this will not go unnoticed. People will be going, what's different about you? Why are you different? Here's why I'm different. Because I have the gospel. And it's exactly like Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But it also implies being faithful and involved in outreach in and through your church. Lifestyle evangelism is good, but we're called to go and give out the gospel. This is why we exist as Faith Baptist Church. We're not here to fight and argue over stuff. Like remodeling the fellowship hall. Or the missions house. Or how big the holes are getting out in the parking lot. I know! Just get a four-wheel drive. You'll be all right. That's not why we're here. This is why we have things like outreach one or two Saturdays in the month. It's why we go canvassing during Vacation Bible School and Fall Revival and other things. Preacher, we got things to do. Yep, but this is what we're called to do. And what we're commanded to do. And the danger that's within churches in America is this, is that we are creating consumer Christianity. Well, you know what the Bible says? We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And taking the gospel. We're not here to entertain. We're here. Listen, that's why you're here tonight. Is to learn about the Bible. Well, why? Not so that you can go out and puff yourself up, that you have knowledge of the Scriptures. It's so that you can be faithful and serve God, but you can also be a witness to somebody else. And that's what this is talking about. Now, let me give you the second thing. So you have this order here, but let me talk to you about the outfitting of the boots and the armor here. See, these boots not only speak of action, but they speak of endurance. And this is still meant, and you think about it, this is still meant to be a defensive piece of the armor. Right? In boots, and I would say to you, boots, if you're going to go into battle, boots are necessary. I mean, listen, physical warfare, I'm just thinking, I don't want to go through a desert or jungle or wherever. I don't want to go barefooted. I don't want to go with my Hokas. That's my running shoe. You know, I don't run. They just look cool. We walk. I'm just saying. They're not going to last. No, you need the right equipment. But at the same time, it's also important. Watch this. It's also important when the enemy attacks and you got to stand your ground. In fact, I believe that when you look at this, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe that's what the word preparation is specifically pointing to. It's the idea of strapping on our boots of the gospel as we go out. And here's why. So that we can stand our ground and be faithful. Listen to me. I don't care if you don't get anything else. If you want to sit back there and play on your phone or do whatever, that's fine. But you need to listen to this. You may not know this, but you need to know this. I realize we preach by grace through faith that a person is saved. And we're going to always preach that. And here's why. Because that's what the Bible says. But you need to understand this. We are in the minority. We are in the minority when you begin to look at Christendom as a whole, meaning Christianity as a whole. We're in the minority. All of the other ones are preaching some kind of work to be saved. Baptism or partake of the Lord's Supper or give some money or whatever the case may be. Or they're telling you through some other person like Mary or the priest or whoever. I'm just telling you, that's what they're preaching. And that's what they're teaching. Or some other saint or whatever. And then watch this. But see, here's the thing. Then you go outside of Christianity and you're faced with things like Muslims and the Muslim religion, which, by the way, is the fastest growing religion in America. And Buddhists. And then you got agnostics and atheism on top. Well, we just believe in science. Well, how's that panning out for you? And what I'm saying to you, now watch this, is that the world is becoming a smaller and smaller place with things like mainstream media and social media. And the point is this, is that you and me are going to be faced with this stuff. So how are you going to answer? How are you going to respond? I just don't know what to believe anymore. Well, you might want to get your boots on. See, it's the idea of this. Being prepared in the gospel of peace. In other words, there's a need to be prepared. There's a need to be outfitted with these boots on. I read this one time, and I've said this before, but I read this stat one time that said this. Watch this. The majority of Jehovah Witnesses used to be Baptists at one time. And I think to myself, how in the world could you be duped with a cult that won't even put windows on their building? I mean, we got windows. It's kind of scary, but rainbow colors. Anyway, let's pray about it. That'll be the next project. We'll have Brother Glazeman back. He was out. Why? With a false translation of the Scriptures and an idea that, well, you know, you gotta be really good so you can be one of the 144,000 in Revelation. That's 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Are you crazy? How could you be? Because they didn't have their boots on. Well, you know, preacher, it's just the same old gospel. No, it's not just the same old gospel, friend. You need to key in and pay attention. If anything, if you've already received it, then learn to rejoice in it. And don't take it for granted. And maybe think about the people sitting around you that haven't received it and pray for them. I'm just saying, listen, let me give you some things. Let me help you with this. Yeah, so here's the deal. All right? You understand the importance of this, that it's an offensive weapon. All right? In the sense that you got to have them on as you go into battle. But at the same time, you need to have them on to stand and to be and to have, you know, to fight the battle. So how do we get this on? Well, here's what I would say to you. Certainly one of the first things would be this. Make sure that you have a personal testimony of salvation that lines up with the Word of God. And I realize that's not deep at all, but I'm just saying to you, make sure that you do. I remember one time we were going through soteriology in Bible Institute. That's the doctrine of salvation. And Pastor Abels was going down through all these different things about what needs to happen before a person is, or as they, but you know, before they get saved and as they're saved and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, man, and he's going down through this point and going down through this and going, and I'm sitting there, man, I'm smiling the whole time. And I look, we're done. And I look at him and smile, and he goes, "What are you smiling about?" I said, "Because my testimony fits every one of them." And I'm just saying to you, I think it should be that you and I could go back to the Scriptures and ask ourselves things like, were you convicted of the Holy Spirit? Yep, I realized I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. And I also, were you convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ? That He is the Savior, that He died for my sin, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He rose again? Yep. Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Yes, I did. Has there been some changing taking place in your life? Oh, yeah. Now, I realize we deal with this stuff all the time. You know why? Because we want to make sure people get a clear presentation of the gospel. But do you realize that there are people that sit in our churches and they have testimonies, but they don't line up with the Bible? I had a guy tell me one time, "Well, you know, preacher, I've just always known God since I was a kid." What does that mean? That's great that if you were raised in a Christian home, and that you were born into a Christian home, but excuse me, Jesus said, you must be born again. There's supposed to be a spiritual birth that takes place in your life where you've come to the realization that you're lost. He's the Savior. And I called upon Him and I was born again into the family of God. I had another lady tell me one time, I was preaching in a service and got done with the service and walked out to the back like I always do and shaking hands. And she came by and she said, "Man, preacher, that was a wonderful, wonderful message." And, you know, it was a Sunday morning message and it revolved around salvation. And she said this. She said, I ask the Lord to save me every day." And I went, "What?" I look at her like a calf at a new gate. And you realize, because that's not how it works. You don't get saved every day. What, did you lose it? Get funded. You don't lose it. Why do you need it again? Where's your faith at? It's not Bible. It's not Bible. I'm telling you, you understand, we talk about going out and taking the gospel and witnessing to people. And I am totally convinced that a lot of God's people, a lot of people are afraid to give their testimony. And here's why. Because they know deep down it don't really line up with the Scriptures. And I haven't been born again. And you need to be saved. But I'm telling you, if you got a testimony of salvation, then why don't you listen? And it lines up with the Bible. Then know it, and don't be afraid to share it. You don't have to have a theology degree to share the gospel. I have preached through the Bible. I've preached through multiple. I've been doing this for 15 years. I have memorized Scripture. I've studied Scripture. I've done all of these things. I've counseled people, helped with people. I've witnessed people. And did you know this? That 9 times out of 10, you know what I do when I witness to somebody? I just tell them what happened to me. So have a testimony that lines up with the Bible and know it in your own life and be willing to give it. But at the same time, it's a defensive weapon when the devil comes along and says, "You know, you need this, or you need that, or you need this, or you need that. Excuse me, if I've got Jesus Christ, I don't need anything or anybody else." In fact, read the book of Colossians. You are complete. You've received the fullness of the Godhead in Him. Listen, you are complete in Him. You don't need anything else. Anyone else. But here's something else, too. And I would encourage you to do this, to know the ins and outs of the gospel. Man, I say that what I mean by that is this, is to know the Scriptures. Study. Don't just zone out when the gospel's being preached. Learn some things. Think about some things. Chew on some things. And because here's the thing. Because there's going to come a time and place where you're going to be witnessing to somebody or talking with somebody or even faced with something and questions that people might have. And you know what they need you to do? They need you to take the Bible and go, here's why we believe what we believe. This answers what you're asking. And I realized, well, you know, let's go back and talk with my pastor. And I'm fine with that. But I'm telling you, it just means a lot more when God's people know these things. You say, well, preacher, this is the preacher's job. No, it's not my job. It's my calling, and it's your calling if you're saved. It's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility. And the fact of the matter is, there are people that you can reach that I may never reach. And here's the other thing. I'm not the only one in a spiritual warfare. You are too. Know the Bible. Know the Scripture and salvation. That's how you get the boots on. And what happens when your kids come to you? Now, we've had some kids asking a lot of questions because of Josh Kennedy getting saved. As a parent, not just as a pastor, as a parent, I think that's one of the most precious treasures is to be able to open up the Scriptures with your kids and to see them get saved. I don't want it to be, I just don't really know. Let's go ask preacher. And I'd be glad to help you, but I'm just saying to you, wouldn't it mean a little bit more if mom and dad knew what they believed and why they believed it? And folks, I've shared this and just going through, and I realize this is kind of a rehash of our lesson on witnessing and our ABCs of Christian growth. But I'm just telling you, this is how you get the gospel of peace, the boots on. And one of the things I did when I was welding in a chemical plant in Pensacola, this was before God called me to preach, just so you know. But I wrote out the Romans roads on a piece of paper, and I was welding. So I hung them on my locker. On the outside of my locker, I didn't care. Whatever. I'm hanging them out there. You want to read it? You read it. You get offended by it? Well, you shouldn't have read it. My locker. You got a bunch of wicked junk hanging on your locker, but I got the gospel hanging on my locker. That, so I had up. And what I would do is if I was working at my table there, my bench, and I was doing a weld or something, I'd turn around, I'd flip my hood up, and I'd be standing there waiting on that to cool off. And I'd start reading through the Scripture, and I'd memorize the Scripture. Do you know what happened? Our company hired in another welder in the next booth over. And I started witnessing to him. I invited him to come to church. He came to church. We had dinner on the grounds. That's a good time to come to church. And he came to church. And he ate good. Spiritually. And we talked to him about things of the gospel and things like. And then so he went back to work. And then I had two buddies that were in another crew. And they were twin brothers. And they went to another Baptist church. And one was the fitter and one was the welder. They started working on. They invited him to their church too. And so he went there. Dinner on the grounds again. I'm like, what's the deal here, man? You're starting to have a pattern. And watch this. Listen to this. He got saved. He called on the Lord and he got saved. Good thing I had my boots on. I'm not talking about my steel-toed boots. I'm talking about my gospel of peace boots. Put them on, friend. Listen, you need it when you're going out. And you need it to face this wicked and ungodly heathen world. And we need it. It's the gospel of peace. In a world that's filled with hatred and anger, we need it. You got it on tonight? You got them on? You need them. Let's all stand.